Good morning, church, and it's a privilege to be here this morning to speak to you from Luke 7. The question I was asking myself as I was thinking about this passage and this sermon was, which of the characters in the story reflect my attitude towards Christ? Am I the Pharisee or the forgiven sinful woman? Or the men asking, who is this Jesus that can forgive sins? Every Sunday, we come to church, and as good Anglicans, we confess our sins to God. And we hear from the front the words of the absolution. And I want to encourage all of us here this morning, using this account from Luke 7, 35 to 50, I want to encourage us, and then next time we go through that good ritual, which is part of our service here, that we could fall deeper in love with God through Christ as we get reminded of our sins and the forgiveness that we have received from them in the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and mercy towards us. We thank you that you loved us in this way, that you sent your Son to live a perfect life on our behalf, to die on our behalf, that we may die with him. And Father, thank you for raising him and us in him, Father, that we may be able to stand here as adopted children through Christ. May you, Father, encourage us to hear your word spoken. May you help me, Father, to speak it clearly and at the same time with fear and trembling. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This story is unique to Luke, as he is the only one that records it. Luke wrote this gospel account so that we may know the certainty of the things we have been taught according to Luke chapter 1. So what is this certainty that was taught from this story? The answer is in verse 47. Great sinners have been greatly and gracefully forgiven. And that produces in them great love towards the source of their forgiveness. Great sins, wiped by great grace, producing great love. Personally speaking, this story is my favorite story in the Bible. I personally resonate with the sinful woman in this story because I too had been gracefully forgiven much. I have 3 points for you this morning. The first one is, great love speaks louder through actions. The second one, great love exposes lesser love. And the third one is, great love is vindicated by God himself. Firstly, great love speaks louder through actions. We heard the passage together this morning, so I am going to ask you 3 questions. Let's see if you're paying attention. What did the woman say in the story? You're probably looking at it and said, you should say, she said absolutely nothing. What spoke for the woman? And I'm hearing some people say, was her actions to her Jesus that spoke for her? And finally, who spoke for the woman? Of course, Jesus did, as I'm hearing you say rightly. Good. Very good. Luke tells us what he has received. That in verse 36, a Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and that Jesus reclined at the table. By reclining, it meant that Jesus' feet were now away from the table. His position is set and ready for what is going to happen next. Verse 37, a sinful woman, that's weird. When I read the commentaries, not one of them, the ones I read, not one of them stated the obvious, in that aren't all people sinful? Men and women are all fallen. But Luke is helping us see how they, as in the people at the dinner party, saw this woman who otherwise we know absolutely nothing about. What made that woman come to the party is even a greater mystery. We assume that she heard the preaching of Jesus about the coming of the kingdom of God and the forgiveness of sins, and that she believed it. Perhaps she answered the call of Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves." And perhaps she observed how this man, Jesus, loved and cared for sinners and ate with them. Jesus did say, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And she, a sinner, has answered that call. She didn't come to Jesus empty-handed. She came bringing an expensive gift to show her appreciation of Jesus. She came boldly and despite her shame for who she was before she met Jesus. It reminded me of a story of actually a man I personally met. He was at another Anglican church in Sydney, a man who was a cross-dresser, transsexual, whom wicked men did anything and everything their wicked hearts desired without ever considering his humanity or his value as a person made in the image of God. This man was saved by the gospel of grace, and he stood at the front telling us openly how Christ has saved him. Verse 38, like the transsexual man and like many throughout the ages who met Jesus, their mouth is replaced by their eyes and their words by their tears. A wise pastor once said that you are not the same after an encounter with Jesus Christ. Whatever the sinfulness of this woman was, Luke tells us that it was all forgiven, and that this woman came to show her appreciation of Jesus with an expensive gift. Forgiven, she stands at the feet of Jesus, weeping like rain, and then using her own hair to wipe Jesus' feet. And then she starts pouring out her kisses and her expensive ornament on his feet. She gave her dignity and expensive perfume to the feet of Jesus. His feet, not his head, not his hand, but his feet. As we will see in the next verses, her demonstration of love to Christ came out of the forgiveness she has already received from God through Christ. And this is how her great love spoke louder through her actions. Secondly, great love exposes lesser love. We will now see how the religious Pharisee received her and what he thought of Jesus because of her. Going back to the cross-dressed transsexual man I mentioned earlier, after his testimony, a Middle Eastern man gave him a hug, a kiss, and said to him, "Welcome to the family, brother." And this shocked the city minister there, who said, How can you, a Middle Eastern man, hug a guy like that?" So in verse 39, the shock and disappointment that the Pharisee gives out is actually completely understandable in their culture. We're talking about Middle East 2,000 years ago. Jesus was destroying the wrong culture of the religious authority and replacing it with a culture of grace. Simon the Pharisee doubted Jesus in his mind when he saw the intimacy this woman was showing Jesus, and in particular Jesus' feet. I mean, we have to admit, if we saw a woman doing that to our senior minister at church, we would probably have done the same. It was too much. Simon, the Pharisee, I knew you'll pick this up eventually. He's not here. He pridefully thought of the woman as a sinner in his mind and doubted Jesus' character as a prophet of God because Jesus was not rebuking her or even asking her to stop showing him so much affection. We can understand that to love Jesus more than everything else, including our pride, is the right reaction to him. For he did say, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. But then again, here is grace. Jesus responded to Simon and did not leave him to rot in his pride. In verse 40, Jesus the prophet gave a word to Simon the Pharisee directly. Simon, I have something to tell you. Simon replied, tell me, teacher. Doubt is removed straight away. And Jesus takes Simon through a parable to understand what is going on here. In verses 41 to 43, we hear, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he graciously forgave the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. The parable is straightforward, and the answer that Simon gave was correct, and the meaning of it is stated earlier in verse 47, is that those who are forgiven more love more. It's very simple. But Simon was still not sure what the connection was or why Jesus gave him this easy riddle. He didn't make the connection, but Jesus treated him like a disciple and explained the parable. Let us first understand the 50 and the 500. In the sight of God, this is like a thief saying that I only stole 50 times compared to someone else who stole 500 times. Or like a person in an abortion clinic saying, I only helped abort 50 perfectly healthy children rather than 500 unborn children. Or like a womanizer who will say, I only stole 50 times behind your back, honey, not 500. Whether it's done once or 5 million times, it is still horrid and despicable sin. You see, it's not the number of sins, but rather the magnitude of them. If we understand forgiveness, it needs to be understood with its magnitude of hideousness towards an almighty and righteous God. Jesus gave Simon a human and earthly example that anyone can understand, and Simon answered rightly. But Jesus still needed to explain the situation that was before Simon's eyes from this parable. Which brings us to the third part of the message. Great love is vindicated by God. In the next verses, 44 to 47, Jesus is the one who defends, who is defending the sinner. Against her accusers, not just that, Jesus uses her actions toward him to shame Simon the Pharisee. By the way, not that Simon has done anything wrong according to the customs of that time, but Jesus, our God, explains the right way to react to what he has come to accomplish for sinners. The sureness of forgiveness and the sureness of eternal life in the kingdom of God. And for the sinful woman, the removal of shame and her acceptance into the family of God. Jesus explains that if the Pharisee understood the magnitude of his sins like the woman did, and the magnitude of God's love who forgave her sins, he would have done the same toward Jesus, including the kissing of his feet. The comparison and humiliation are inescapable. You didn't give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. And you did not pour oil on my head, even cheap olive oil back then, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Her great love toward Jesus was a sign of what Jesus had done in her life. And Jesus, again, before all who were there, declared her righteous and forgiven, just as the fruit of forgiveness has been demonstrated through the amazing love and humbleness she showed towards Jesus. In verses 48 and 50, Jesus again declares her forgiven yet again. He goes, "Your sins are forgiven and your faith has saved you. Go in peace." These words, "go in peace," some commentators describe these words as words used by Jewish people at funerals for the person that died. If that is the case, then this woman was a new person because the old one has died. Verse 49, is our question today. Who is this man that forgives sins? Who is this Jesus, the Son of Man, who is given authority to forgive sins? Are we going to be the men who are at the dinner party asking these questions? Or are we going to be Simon the Pharisee who was still considering the person of Jesus? Are we the people who don't know anything about him? Or are we still considering who Jesus is? Or are we going to be this graciously forgiven sinful woman who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is Jesus Christ our Lord, who came to reconcile us back to our Heavenly Father through the forgiveness of sins and the sure hope of eternal life, which she has received through the Holy Spirit of God? Who is this man, Jesus, to you? Symbolically, the woman here is in the story is the church. But is the church demonstrating her love to Christ in this way? I pray that we are and that we will. And to summarize, great sins wiped by great grace producing great love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. You stepped down into darkness, opened our eyes, and you have enabled us to see your beauty that made our hearts adore you. And you have given us the hope of life to be spent with you, which brings us here to worship you, here to bow down to you, here to say that you are our God. You are altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to us, our King for all days, oh so highly exalted. Glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to earth, you created. All for love's sake, you became poor to rescue us. And we will never know how much it cost to see our sins upon that cross. Jesus, we love you. Amen.